Grace and peace, and welcome to the March 20th, 2017 edition of the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul White. So honored to have you join me as we journey through the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. I want to take a quick aside and make an announcement today. I've been telling you about a seminar that I'm very excited to be a part of coming up at the end of the month. Let me give you some details about the Grace and Faith Seminar in Chico, California. I am honored to be one of the guest speakers, along with the hosts of the seminar, David and Kathy Hildebrand. They put this on, they do monthly Bible studies through the Grace and Faith Seminar, but they put a conference on last year that I was honored to be a part of and invited me to come back and do another one at the end of this month, in fact, in just a few days. We've had the information up on our site for a few weeks, but for those who pick us up through the podcast and you live in the Northern California area, I would love to be in service with you. It's coming up this coming Friday and Saturday night on the 24th and 25th of March. It happens at New Hope Fellowship at 418 West 7th Street in Chico, California, Friday evening and Saturday morning. So it's a Friday night, Saturday morning conference. The Friday night conference starts at 6 o'clock. It lasts about 3 hours. You'll be there between 6 and 9. And then Saturday morning sessions last between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. I will be speaking on both Friday night and Saturday morning, along with the conference host David and Kathy Hildebrand, and Jeremy White and Lucas Miles. These are two great men of God whom I've had the privilege of speaking with before in conferences and being a part of other things with these guys. So I would highly recommend, if you are in the Northern California area, to come out and to be with us. They have a short promotional video, some video clips from each one of us speakers, and they also have some clips from last year's sessions, and you can see all of that at www.graceandfaithministries.org. And when you get to their website, just select Grace and Faith Seminar, and you can see all of that. They request that you register. In fact, they require that you register for this seminar. However, it is free. They want you to be registered because they want to make sure that everyone is taken care of with a packet, but they are not charging. So that's great news, man. Come be a part of what we're doing in Northern California. I'm very, very excited about this coming up. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous weekend. The Lord has put a couple of messages on my heart that I'm excited about. And of course, I will be putting those to my website when we can at PaulWhiteMinistries.org. All right, Romans chapter 6. That's my final March announcement, by the way. We will tell you about some very exciting news in the month of April, but we'll wait until the top of the month to do that. Of course, you can check out my website if you'd like to get a heads up before the fact. Romans 6, 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Whenever you see a therefore, it's great to figure out why. As I sometimes say, when you see a therefore, find out what is there for. In this case, you're pointing back not just to the 11th verse, but to the entire tenor of the sixth chapter, that you are dead in Christ and alive to God through Christ. You died with him, and you've raised with him in a newness of life. That phrase, newness of life, is actually in Romans 6, 4. When you come up from the waters of baptism, it's like Jesus coming out of the grave. And in the 11th verse, you now reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. So Paul now tells you, with that in mind, use that equipment to not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. There's a reason why we don't want sin to reign in our mortal body. First of all, we're new creations. We don't want to look like old creations. That's the kind of garbage we did before we come to know Christ. And also, we're about to find this out as Paul goes deeper into this topic. We don't want to be slaves anymore. We don't want to be told what to do, led around by the nose, by our lust and passions and emotions. And any time that we're doing that, we've become a slave to that emotion, a slave to that lust, a slave to that passion. Who wants to live that way? And we shouldn't have to live that way because we aren't who we used to be. So we don't let sin reign in our mortal body. Speaking of that topic, Paul is going to, he's going to work into this whole slavery issue that you're not a slave to sin, but he's not going to leave this idea of being freed. Listen to what he, I know I'm sneaking ahead, but the context always helps. Look ahead to the 7th chapter. In the 4th verse, Paul's going to say this, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Now, we'll get deep into that when we hit chapter 7, because there's some remarkable stuff. But Paul gives you an also dead to the law. He does the also dead to the law because in chapter 6, he has declared you dead to sin. So if in verse 12, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, so you should obey it in its lust, and then in Romans 7, 4, we're also dead to the law, you are dead to two different things that have been major points of the book of Romans. You're dead to sin, and you're dead to the law, which makes sense based upon what Paul said in Romans 5, 20, the law entered so that the sin might abound. You're dead to the law, therefore by default you should be dead to sin. It's interesting though that Paul sort of works backwards to get to this. And this, I'm going to make a narrative point here. We've been telling you from the outset of this book that Paul sort of circles the topic. This is conversational. He'll mention it, he'll go away from it, he'll come back. I actually think that Paul gets better as he goes along in the book at trying to say what he's trying to say. For instance, in chapter 6, he spends verse after verse describing how we're dead to sin. Then in chapter 7, it hits him in the 4th verse, "You've become dead to the law through the body of Christ." He could have said that a chapter earlier, it might have helped explain why you're dead to sin. Why? Because in 5:20, the law entered so the sin might abound. Well, rather than trying to explain how you're dead to sin without talking about the law, why not talk about the law? He tries to declare you dead to sin without ever bringing the law up. In the 6th chapter, for these first 11, 12 verses, he hasn't been talking about the law. He's been talking about being dead in Christ. But then in the 7th chapter, it really, the light bulb comes on in him, and he says, you know what really happened when you died in Christ is you died to the law. You didn't just die to sin, you died to the law. Oh, well, by the way, if you died to the law, by default you have died to sin, because the law stirs up sin. I hope you can see how he's building this case through different ways. He even says in 7:5, when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law, and they were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. In chapter 6, verse 12, he told you not to let sin reign in your body. It takes him until chapter 7, verse 5 to explain, well, it really shouldn't be reigning. You're dead to the law. The law is what made those passions come up in the first place. I find those amazing connections. It's also why it's very difficult sometimes to give you the explanation of one verse without the chapter in front and the chapter behind. When you hit this 12th verse of Romans 6, you really need at least Romans 7, 5, if not all of Romans 7. And he's on his way there. Although I don't think that's by design. I don't really think he sat down and went, no, I'm not going to tell him for another chapter. I think it's just coming out in him. I think it's coming out as he talks. I think it's coming out in the way he says it. And I think he finally says it his best way up in chapter 10. When in chapter 10, verse 4, he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Why does he wait so long to say that? Why does he wait until chapter 11 to say, if it's grace, it's not works, otherwise grace isn't grace. If it's works, it's not grace, otherwise work isn't work. I know that seems complex. It takes him that long to really nail that. And I think that's beautiful. And for me, it's just a fun way to check out the narrative. I hope you've been blessed. We'll continue tomorrow. Until then, God bless.